Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's a Thursday. NFL football tonight. Wish we had Baker live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Thursdays mean 15 minutes of Greg Cosell, top of next hour. You like fantasy football, betting football, or just love to get smarter? Nobody better than Greg Cosell to join us. And Joy Taylor is joining me this morning. We've got all sorts of combustible stuff happening, mostly in the National Football League. For the record, I'll talk about it later. I watched the entire Knicks-Celtics double overtime game last night.
That was a fun game.
I'm going to tell you something. The passion and intensity of the New York crowd, it felt like the finals. It was an insanely good television product last night.
Well,
I loved it.
That's why I, you know, aside from my own allegiances, love when the Knicks are competitive. Because you just can't duplicate that kind of energy.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's the best.
It's the best basketball.
It's the mecca.
Arena,
like, you can't duplicate it. It's great when they're competitive.
So here's the story today, and we'll start our show with this. Ian Rappaport, Baker Mayfield needs surgery on a torn labrum following the season. Now, he can deal with it through this season. But if there's any more damage, he tries to make another tackle, he gets sacked or rolled, it's going to be very challenging. He's probably at 80%. He's got a shoulder that keeps popping in and popping out. It is odd. It is probably incredibly painful. And he deserves credit for dealing with that. But I've never quite understood people who close options in their life. Keep everything open. Consider everything. One of my favorite sayings is outline your life in pencil, not pen. Be willing to erase at any time. Cleveland has to consider everything now, including let him play hurt. If you privately don't think you're going to re-sign him anyway, let him play. Let him go. Not a championship team if Baker's at 80%. I don't think they're a championship team anyway, but they're certainly not if he's not 100%. You have to consider shutting him down for the year, getting him completely healthy, one more year, go with Baker, and then make a decision. And you also have to consider, I know it's going to hurt your feelings, put the pom-poms down, moving off him. Shutting him down, moving off him. Talk radio, newspaper columnists, bloggers in Cleveland, they're split on Baker now. You're not going to get a ton of pushback. You have an injured average quarterback in a division with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow both getting better by the minute, and it should be noted in March, the Pittsburgh Steelers will be first in line to make a run at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, fourth best quarterback in your division. We've got 52 starts, folks. The verdict is out. He averages completion percentage low 60s, passer rating 90, under a 2-to-1 touchdown ratio. And don't just take this year with the best offensive line in the league. That's not what quarterbacks have for years. Dak is now better with a good offensive line. You can't just say, well, look at him with the best O-line. I want to see him when they're injured, like now. You clearly have a coaching staff that keeps their thumb on him and does not believe in him. Just go to the Chargers game for that. And this league does not reward passive. The Los Angeles Rams are still paying Jared Goff $24 million, and they're going to face him this weekend. He got to a Super Bowl. They gave him an extension, and they moved off him. Maybe it's at L.A. We upgrade here. They're still paying him $24 million. Didn't hurt the team at all. Baker gets $18 million next year. Move off OBJ's $15 million deal. Move off David Njoku. Call Miles Garrett's agent. Push money down the road. The smart teams manipulate the cap. You got to consider moving off him. You got an injured quarterback who's average. Just let him play the rest of the season. Give him all the sport. Cross your fingers. You got to consider everything. Resting him, sitting him, playing him. Moving off him, shoulder pops in and out. Even the way Baker got hurt was classic Baker. He threw an interception, and then, as he always does, overvalued his athletic ability and tried to square up a safety and got hurt. Go look it up. Yeah, it was classic Baker. He always thinks he's a little more athletic than he is. Tried to square up a safety, bang, and that's where we are today. Even this week, Baker Mayfield, when asked about the injury and whether or not he would play, instead of being humble, instead of, you know, being a team guy, he came out and said this.
I have to make that decision. Only I know how my body feels. And if anyone questions whether, you know, I'm hindering the team and going out there injured, that's just not right. So it's my decision. I get to say, you know, whether I'm able to play or not, and that's just how it is.
No, it's actually not your decision. Your doctor and the team doctor told you you're not playing. Does he always have to be the cockiest guy in the room? Champ, it's not your decision. That's why you're not playing tonight. If it was your decision, you'd be playing tonight. Your doctor said you can't. The team doctor said you can't. His injury, overvaluing his talent. I get a play. I'll make the decision. I think you have to consider everything. Shutting him down, letting him play, and totally supporting him. But I know one thing they're not sure on today is giving him an extension, and I think they're leaning no. But I think you have to consider everything. If you look at the NFL teams right now that are rolling, they all went massive aggressive in the last 3 years. Tampa with Brady, Rams with Stafford, Kansas City rebuilt their offensive line, Arizona hyper-aggressive, Baltimore, Bill Stephon Diggs trading up for Josh Allen. That's what rewards people in the NFL. I would consider everything, including let him play, let's move off him. I'd consider it. I mean, you want to know a team that went passive on quarterback and now regrets it? A team I'm going to talk about next, the Miami Dolphins. We said, go draft another quarterback. Now they look trapped. And let's move to Miami right now. So the stories are, there's three journalists that are reporting this in Houston. Two I'm aware of, John McClain, Mark Berman. They've broken a lot of stories in Houston. One guy's a TV guy, one guy's a columnist. They've been doing this for 30 years, breaking stories. So regardless of what I think about Deshaun Watson and the allegations against him, and I would, as a GM, not be interested in Deshaun Watson. From a sister to a daughter to my wife, it's just not going to work for me. But I will say this. The overwhelming sentiment I hear, and it's a reasonable one, is how can you make this move when you don't know his circumstances and how they'll play out? That's a reasonable take to have. So why would Miami, according to reports, be aggressive? And I understand how they're rationalizing it. They're saying, well, the minute Deshaun Watson clears, if he does these allegations, we'd have to give 7 picks for him. 99% of the league has said no thanks. Miami views it as a value proposition. It's a bad quarterback college class. We don't trust our quarterbacks. If we wait, you have to give up 5 firsts, 3 seconds, a player. Maybe they can get him now for 2 firsts, a second, a third corner. And if he's cleared, and I have no idea, the whole thing's a legal mess, but it's a value proposition for them. That's my guess on it, is that the guy that owns the team, Stephen Ross, is a real estate guy. He's probably made most of his fortune on finding value in properties, commercial or residential, whatever his business is. And so there's a lot of alsos with this. Also, Josh Allen's in the division. You better have a star quarterback. Also, it's a bad college quarterback class next year. Also, Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the GM, are losing a lot of football games, and there's a lot of heat. Also, quarterback appears to be more important this year than even last year. There's a lot of alsos here. I'm not comfortable with him. I wouldn't do it. But I get the desperation, and I see how they could rationalize it. You want to give up 6 picks for him? The only chance to give up 2 or 3, this may be the time. I don't know how it plays out. I wouldn't be comfortable going after him. But you look around the NFL right now, the best quarterback leads in 7 of 8 divisions. The only exception is Justin Herbert and Derek Carr are a game above Patrick Mahomes. And most of us think, myself included, Kansas City will end up winning the division with Patrick Mahomes. Last weekend, 14 games, the best quarterback won 13. The exception, Josh Allen, who would have won had he not slipped. I may not do it. I can get why Miami is thinking about doing it. You know, it is interesting on the Baker Mayfield situation. You know I'm not, I've never been a big fan because I do put a, I put a real big price tag on maturity. I was never a fan of Johnny Manziel. I said that when he got drafted. I would never give him the keys to the franchise. I was not a big fan of Jameis Winston out of college. I was not a big fan of Baker and all the stuff. We don't need to go back and talk about the stuff I didn't like. But I do believe after 52 starts, you have to take the whole package and say, this is what we got. And what we got is not a lot of accuracy, not a good passer rating, little cocky for my taste. I think you got to consider everything. Going all in, resting him, playing him, and getting on the phone, manipulating your payroll, moving off OBJ, David Njoku, manipulate Myles Garrett's contract, push money down the road, and get on the phone with the Raiders and Derek Carr. I'd consider everything. I think today, in this league, you do realize the Steelers are going to pursue Aaron Rodgers. By March, don't kid yourself, they're first in line. That flirting, folks, if you're Aaron Rodgers, what hasn't he had his whole career? A great defense. What do the Steelers always have? A great defense, an aggressive front office. It's got star receivers, now a star back. By March, you could have Aaron in your division, and Cleveland knows it. You got to consider everything. I'm not saying you have to move him. I'd take calls, or maybe I'd sit him, or I'd play him and cross my fingers. Everything is on the table. All right. Greg Cosell, 45 minutes from now. Kurt Warner is joining us in about 15 minutes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Weather's changing. Stay comfortable. Tommy John underwear, 20% off your first order. 16 million pairs sold. TommyJohn.com/herd. Check out their site for merch and details. You're now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible. Great rates with none of the bull. I've been very lucky where I've never felt as an employee I had to be selfish and just get out of a place. I had good management here. I have good management at the previous place. I had good management when I did local. I've had good management in radio and television. I've been supported. I've been moved around. I've been mobile. Places I wanted to live more than other places. I like living in Southern California, but I've been very lucky. I've had support. But I have always said I'm one of the fortunate ones. I've had good support and good management. What if I had lousy management? Then I would be more selfish. Matt Stafford is fascinating. So Matt Stafford was a loyal guy and stayed in Detroit. And we always love our athletes to be loyal. And I'm for athletes being loyal. I think Ben Simmons looks ridiculous, and so does Kyrie Irving. But there's a reason the late Kobe Bryant stayed with the Lakers. Because they were well run almost all of his tenure. Matt Stafford's numbers in Los Angeles as he gets ready to face Jared Goff are remarkable. His passer rating now is 117. That's better than Aaron Rodgers. He's completing 70% of his throws, a 4-to-1 TD to interception ratio, and throwing for 306 yards a game. You wear a gold jacket had he left 6 years earlier. His Detroit numbers are pedestrian. Solid, not spectacular, like a lesser version of Matt Ryan. That's two different players and two different careers. The guy on the left wears a gold jacket. The guy on the right is shown the door as he seeks a contract extension. What's remarkable about Matt Stafford, the Lions are now 0-6 without him and were 5-28 in Detroit when he was hurt. You think the Patriots are struggling to win without Tom Brady? How poorly run were the Detroit Lions? The two greatest players they ever had both retired with half a decade left of earnings. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. The third, Matt Stafford, said, get me out of here. A lot of people will link Matt Stafford and Jared Goff because of the trade. But do you know who I think of when I think of Matt Stafford? I think of Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville and Zach Wilson with the Jets. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, historically poorly run franchises. I am not for selfish athletes, but if I was Joe Burrow at the end of my contract, if you can't get me a better offensive line, I would ask to be traded. If I'm Zach Wilson and I'm on a third coach by year 4 or 5, I would ask to be moved. And if Urban Meyer left after a year, the second coach didn't work, 4 years, Trevor Lawrence, I'm out. I am for playing to the end of a contract. I am not for athletes being over the team. Matt Stafford is a great example. His loyalty probably costs him the Hall of Fame. Because if you look at his numbers now and his Detroit numbers, those are two different football players. Two different football players. And I think overwhelmingly, organizations in the National Football League are competent. But the Lions haven't been. The Jets haven't been. The Bengals have been cheap. They still are the only northern franchise in the league without an indoor practice facility. Local colleges have them. I'm told a local Cincinnati high school has one. The Bengals don't. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Ben Simmons did not get to play in the Sixers season opener against the Pelicans. He was suspended for the game for his behavior at practice on Tuesday. And while Doc Rivers said he understands that sometimes players want to be traded, he acknowledges that the drama surrounding Simmons took some of the fun out of opening night.
So it's a predicament that we're in, and that part is no fun. It really isn't. We get to play right now. Ben's not. I want Ben to be playing. That's his job. I don't like any player losing money. Like, there's so many things about this that I don't like. But that doesn't mean you still don't have to do your job, and that's the tough part.
Well, the Sixers beat the Pelicans 117-97. Joel Embiid had 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists, and Tobias Harris had 20 points and 12 rebounds. Ben Simmons has put his house up for sale. It's a New Jersey mansion 23 miles from the Sixers' Wells Fargo Center, and has an asking price of $5 million.
That's very sellable there.
Honestly, as I was saying the $5 million, I'm like, what? Because I saw it on the internet, like this house.
Oh, so it's beautiful.
That house in Los Angeles is, I'm not a real estate agent, but
$30 million?
I'm in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking. Like $5 million, you might get 2 bathrooms here in LA. But Doc is right. It definitely put a damper on the start of their season. Yeah. It's drama. Nobody likes drama, although this league does kind of have its share.
I'm kind of interested because I do like Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, Curry. I do like the roster. I do think if you could get me, I would like to see a deal consummated because, A, I'd like to see Ben Simmons play and get on with his career. And secondly, I'm kind of interested to see the Sixers don't need draft picks. They need players. This is a champion. When you have Embiid and his health issues, I need players. I'm really interested to see the value they get because I think multiple people could win. If you have a basketball team that needs a point forward, Ben's your guy. He really is a great defender and a great distributor. And the Sixers, I got to tell you, outside of Milwaukee, I think they could match up. If you gave them another nice player, I think they're one of the better matchups in the league because of Embiid with Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're a championship contender.
I think so.
I think the lesson here for everyone is when stuff doesn't fit, stop trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. Like, it doesn't work. We've all seen it. Not that we are, we're playing armchair GM here, but it was very obvious. And this whole drama situation could have been avoided. Again, I don't really like how Ben Simmons is handling it. Yeah. I don't think I would handle it that way. But there's always things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And he's clearly had his full of the situation. But this entire thing really could have been avoided from both sides, from all sides.
Well, you get egos. General managers in the NBA, Joy, because it's a public job, do not want to lose a trade. That's always the big deal. You don't want it on your legacy. Oh, my God, he got railroaded. Sometimes you're winning a trade by making it, regardless of what you get in return. I think you and I both talked about this 2 years ago. It doesn't work. Let's move. Let's go.
But on the court, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
forget the personalities and the ego.
It doesn't work
on the
court.
And you talk about this all the time. Sometimes you know you're going to be wrong for a little while.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to take the arrows. I'm wrong. Okay. Because in the long run, you're going to end up being right.
Right.
And sometimes you just have to take that risk. Now, obviously, it's we don't know what the structure is with the ownership, and maybe it's not that simple that you have the runway to be wrong for a certain amount of time. That is a well-run organization that they can see a few years down the road and what the purpose of the move is. So sometimes GMs and coaches are not in a situation to make a move like that and have, are just treading water trying to keep their jobs. I don't think that's a situation in Philadelphia, but who knows? Yeah. So that can play a role in these things as well. So an exciting, not drama-filled, but great basketball game was the Knicks and Celtics their season opener last
night. I watched every second of it. I could not turn the television. In fact, I was watching the Dodgers-Braves. This was more exciting. It was incredibly riveting.
Yes. So they had a four-point lead with 9 seconds to go.
Oh, blew
it. The Celtics didn't let up and tied it by hitting a three-pointer at the buzzer, and then it took two overtime periods, but the Knicks were able to get away with the win 138-134.
Julius Randle may be the most likable guy in the league. He was interviewed after the game, and he goes, how do you feel? He goes, I'm exhausted. I want to go home and sleep. He goes, he was so funny about it. I find this Knicks team the most likable team in the league. They are just tough. They play defense. Yeah. Derrick Rose gets what he is. They got Evan Fournier. They got all these guys that bounced around. I love when they play home games. They play hard. They play defense. They give you everything. They're just limited offensively. They're like last night, Fournier, they could have put it away earlier. I love watching this Knicks team play.
Well, Fournier had 32 points.
No, he had a great, he had
six rebounds, three assists, and four steals. Derrick Rose had 9 points, four rebounds, and five assists, but had the big shot at the end.
Yep.
This is why I root for the Knicks to be competitive.
Oh, God, the Garden's great.
Because the Garden is great.
Oh, it's amazing.
The scene is great. It's a New York team. Like, it's just better for the league. Jason Tatum had 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 assists. And Jaylen Brown had 46 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals.
Mm-hmm.
But great game last night. So Taylor Heinicke has been in a slump over the last 2 weeks. He's thrown just one touchdown and 3 interceptions in back-to-back losses for Washington. And he said a part of the struggle is he's trying to be perfect on every play.
I feel like I've just been trying to be perfect and trying to make the perfect read every play. And, you know, it doesn't really allow me to be who I am or, you know, allow me to be my best. I've only played, 6 games in the NFL. I'm still learning, but that's no excuse to throw the picks I've thrown. So I'm still learning. I'm still learning stuff about myself, what I can and can't do. And I come here at the facility every day and try and get better and learn. So. You know, that's how I go about it.
You know, I was thinking about the Washington football team's quarterback situation this morning.
Yeah.
And the odds for Cam Newton's team, next team, Washington has the second best odds tied with the Texans at plus 400. Seahawks have the best odds at plus 200. But I was thinking about it and in kind of relation to Baker, because his contract situation is coming up, and do you give him the extension? Do you franchise tag him?
You can do a lot of stuff with Baker.
Yeah, do you do a long-term contract? And as we know, the Browns for many years were dysfunctional and terrible.
Yeah.
And Washington is 19-35 since Kirk Cousins left.
Go get Baker?
Well, it just had me thinking about, you know, sometimes the grass isn't greener. And while I do think you should be aggressive in general as a team, you know, don't make any hasty moves. You know, like, think things all the way through. Because Kirk Cousins, I think we all think, has a ceiling.
Yes.
We know what he does in the big matchups, and that's kind of what we're trying to figure out with Baker. But they're 19-35 since Kirk Cousins left.
I know.
I'm not a Kirk Cousins apologist. I think he's great at making money. He's made lots of money, and good for him.
Yeah.
But I just think it's interesting because they're not a team, Washington, that we consider to be Super Bowl contenders, even when they are.
No, I listen.
Put together because they haven't been there with the quarterback position.
Bill Belichick is struggling to win home games. The quarterbacks are the most important person in the league, and I think now we're all acknowledging it. Instead of arguing if it's Belichick or Brady, we acknowledge there's a reason. Our next guest, Kurt Warner, everywhere he went, the team got better. A lot of time, I got nothing against coaches. They may be number two. But this league now, the rules all dictate you have to have an elite quarterback to win the
Super Bowl. No, you do, which is why the Dolphins are in the situation that they're in. But
it's interesting.
I just think it's interesting because we think of Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield as, you know, kind of on the same field. Well, Washington's been struggling since he left. For all that talk about not giving him
a
big
bad
contract.
Division. Struggling in a bad division.
Yeah.
Joey with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, the four-time Pro Bowler, 3-0 in NFC Championship games. Mercedes-Benz Best or Nothing. You know, well-decorated. His story's great, by the way. Undrafted. I love those stories. So let's just start with this. I talked about this. I'm a team guy. And it drives me nuts when I see a Ben Simmons or a Kyrie. At my core, I don't like it. But I look at Matt Stafford, and I think the reason that you are wearing a gold jacket, you moved. And you got great situations, and you made them great. And Matt Stafford probably is not going to wear a gold jacket, and you and I both know he's an unbelievable player. And I look at his Ram numbers, and I think, did loyalty cost him? When you go back to your career, and the balance, Kurt, between being a team guy and then saying, my operation is fundamentally poorly run. And I think there is a balance there, and maybe Stafford being a nice guy cost him. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it definitely does to a degree, because I think the goal when any of us get in any situation is, man, I want to play my whole career with one organization. I want to be the face of that franchise. I want to turn that franchise around. And, you know, my legacy is in Detroit, and I turned them around and we went to a Super Bowl. We won a Super Bowl, all that stuff. And that's kind of our mindset. And especially as a competitor, you go, man, as long as you just put guys around me, I'm able to elevate our team and get there. And then it's year after year after year, as you said, Colin, and you're watching Matthew Stafford and you're going, my gosh, this guy is so talented. What would he be in another organization? And you do have to fight that balance. And I think it finally came to the point where I don't think Stafford wanted to do it. I talked to Larry Fitzgerald a number of times after I left, and he was juggling back and forth. Do I re-sign with the Cardinals? Do I go somewhere else? Because I want that elusive chance to win a championship. And obviously he held on and stayed a Cardinal his entire career and all of those things and never got that opportunity. That I do believe that loyalty can cost you at some point. And so I'm glad that Matthew Stafford, still with, you know, plenty of time to play and be successful in this league, is going to have that opportunity. He's going to have a team around him for the next few years that gives him a chance to say, hey, can you be that guy? Can you be the guy that elevates a team and wins a championship? We just don't know the answer to that. We just know he's really talented. We want to get the answer to that because he is so talented and such a great guy. Now he gets that opportunity.
You know, Kurt, in your generation, I was much more willing to give quarterbacks 3 full years. But now there's 7-on-7 camps. You guys, the quarterbacks now have 20,000 snaps by the time they're 13. And I've said now, I'll give you 2 full years. But by the end of it, I'm going to have private conversations with my scouts and my GM. And I look at a Daniel Jones. Like Kyler Murray's young. I'd re-sign him. Daniel Jones, I'm going to go to Thanksgiving. Tua, I don't think it's there. Probably give him the rest of the year, whatever you do. But Baker Mayfield's an interesting one. So, Kurt, we've got 52 starts. In my opinion, I don't love his judgment. He's not ideal size. He's always thought he's a bit more athletic than he is. He's a little too cocky for my taste. I think, you know, your personality, Brady's personality, Russell Wilson, there's a personality for quarterback, and it is grateful and humble and hardworking and head down. Doesn't have a lot of that. And now he's hurt. Where do you weigh in on Baker? Because they're going to have to make a decision not long from now on an extension. Like Lamar, you're getting the money. Kyler, I'm not arguing. Where are you today on Baker Mayfield all in?
Well, I thought you guys made a great point before I jumped on. You guys were talking about Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins in Washington and a team that was fairly successful and got to the playoffs and where they're at now. And I believe that the discussion with Kirk Cousins at that time was not, is he a good quarterback? Is he above average, a starting quarterback in the NFL? It's simply, can we win a championship with Kirk Cousins? And I don't know if Washington was convinced of that. That's the reason they moved on, and they're trying to find a guy that they believe they can win a championship with. I believe Baker is very much in that same mold, is that you say to yourself, I'm not sure Baker's a guy, or at least shown us at this point, he's a guy that can carry a team. And to your point, Colin, that's what everybody wants, right? Everybody wants to find that guy where you go, oh, if the chips are down and we got to depend on this guy, we can count on him to win a Super Bowl for us. There are not very many of those guys. And so the dilemma becomes, do we keep a Baker Mayfield who has been really good and has led us to places we haven't been in a long time? also knowing that maybe he's not the guy that we can lean on if we have to, you know, to carry us. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, and there's a number of guys in the league that we have those questions about. And so it comes down to an organization saying, what are we here for? Are we willing to go to the playoffs every year and be a good, solid team, Cincinnati Bengals with Andy Dalton? Are we willing to be that team, or is the bottom line, end of the road, we want to win a championship? And if we want to win a championship, I think if you don't feel you have that guy, you cut ties, you move on, and you try to find that guy, because there are only so many guys every year. You know it. Every, at the beginning of every year, you cross off 10 teams and you go, okay, you know, these are the 10 teams that have a chance to win a championship. Why? Because they have that guy.
Right.
And it starts with that guy, and then everything else comes along from there. If you don't have that guy, you might make the playoffs. You might be that sixth or seventh team, but you're probably not going to compete for a championship. And if you are, it's because of one of those situations for you. And I believe that's where Baker is at this point in his career. And Cleveland's going to have to make that determination. Is, are we good enough around him, because he's a good quarterback, that we can win a championship? Or are we just going to need to find that dog at the quarterback position that we believe can carry us?
By the way, NFL Network tonight, you have a movie coming out about you called American Underdog. It's a famous story about you checking groceries at one point. Sure. Tony Romo, by the way, was also undrafted. I mean, Josh Allen, by the way, after junior college, got one offer to Wyoming. Was there ever a moment for all the young quarterbacks out there that are battling their way to be a franchise quarterback? Was there a moment in your life, Kurt, that you almost just said, this is not going to happen for me?
Trust me, Colin, there was a lot of those moments where I said it's not going to happen. And the ironic thing is that it wasn't because I ever doubted who I was or my skill. It was I doubted whether I would get the opportunity.
Right.
And probably the biggest, you know, you talked about Josh Allen getting one offer. I got one offer too, and it was a half a scholarship offer to Northern Iowa, you know, FCS school at the time. And then I sat on the bench for 4 years in college.
Wow.
And, you know, that was kind of the point where I'm like, how does this dream ever work out if I can't even get on the field at this level? And so there were moments when I thought about walking away or quitting or transferring to a small school just to play, where I really thought, okay, it's going to come to an end right here. And the hardest part of that was, it's going to come to an end because I'm not getting the opportunity.
That's right.
Not because I got the opportunity and failed. And that to me is always the hardest thing. And I think that's what kept me going, was I can't just be that 40-year-old guy that's sitting on a couch going, man, I could have.
Right.
If somebody would have just given me the opportunity, I could have been that guy. I had to prove to myself one way or another, either you can or you can't, and then you can walk away and live with it. But that's what kept me going. But I did definitely have some of those moments where I wondered, would I ever get that opportunity, you know, to prove it?
You know, it's really amazing, Kurt. Have you ever thought about this? Aaron Rodgers had to go to a junior college. Russell Wilson had to transfer because his coach quit on him. Kyler Murray had to transfer. Brady couldn't start regularly at Michigan. Big Ben had to go to Miami of Ohio. It is almost as a rule. Peyton Manning is rare. Number one high schooler, number one college. That's rare. You are actually more of the story. That I mean, I seriously, I look around the league all the time and I'm like, half of this league is actually undrafted. So I wonder if that, and I don't see you as kind of a chip on the shoulder guy, but there is something about being doubted, because I always argue that it's so hard to be a quarterback that if you don't have a little metal, if you don't have a little chip, I mean, I don't see you as a chip guy because you're kind of a very joyful guy, but do you have that chip?
Yeah, you know, I never looked at it like a chip. Like you said, you hear Aaron Rodgers, you hear Tom Brady every year. They find something to be the reason why, or to talk themselves into. I didn't have a chip from that standpoint, that I wasn't trying to prove to everybody else, oh, you're wrong, I can play, you're saying this about me, that's not true. But I had that competitiveness like all the great ones have.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might call it arrogance in some situations. You might call it the chip on the shoulder. Man, I had that competitive streak in me that wanted to compete and was willing to work and just wanted to have a ball in my hands in any arena, out in the backyard, you know, in an alley, playing arena football. I just loved to compete. And that to me, you know, when you talk about a chip, that was just my chip, was, man, give me a ball, and I will show everybody that I can play this game. And so, yeah, that was something that I think drives every great player. And I think to your point, Colin, is that when it's not handed to you, you know, I think about my kids all the time. You know, my kids look at me and they're like, Dad, you're an old non-athlete. I am so much of a better athlete than you were at my age. And, you know, you say you worked hard. I work harder than you ever did. You know, they have no idea what went into it. And I think a lot of guys where it kind of falls in their lap, and Peyton's an exception. He worked his butt off in so many situations throughout his NFL career. But I think, you know, we all know a lot of guys when things are given to them or it's easier
yeah.
for them, they don't develop that work ethic, that edge, that competitiveness to a certain degree that you have to have when you're fighting for your life in every situation. And, you know, it's a hard thing to teach because sometimes, like you said, I think it's really something that, you know, out of survival,
yeah.
you go, okay, I got to have this. I got to find a way to do this because nobody's handing me anything. And so I think there is something to those guys that go that route and that little edge that you're talking about that they all have.
Good stuff. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer. NFL Network tonight, Cleveland with Case Keenum against Denver. By the way, Teddy Bridgewater has a weird record historically as a dog, as an underdog on the road. So Bridgewater will find a way to play very well tonight. Very competitive game. Kurt, thanks for coming on the show.
You bet it, buddy.
You bet. Kurt Warner. You know, it is. It's hard to play quarterback. I read some stat like 10 years ago. They were talking about, like, there's a lot of prep schools in the country that play football. Very few prep school quarterbacks. I think Matt Ryan was the only one. Like, it's not prep league stuff. It's hard. Really hard. And you're being doubted and multiple coordinators and multiple injuries. Trent Dilfer always told me by the third week in September, everything hurts. You just don't feel great getting out of bed.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins, according to multiple sources, will happen at least by the trading deadline, November 2nd. Could happen sooner, multiple sources, trustable sources in Houston. Regardless of what I think of Deshaun Watson, I will say this. When I hear Miami fans say, well, he's not the problem. Tua is not the problem. That always sounds defensive to me. I'm not the problem at work. Bob's not the my wife is not the problem. That sounds defensive. When people say, well, he's not the solution, that feels offensive. Let's go find the solution. Let's go seek together harmony, teamwork, a group. Let's find the solution. Tua is maybe not the problem, but he's certainly not the solution. It's why words matter. It's why you often hear, don't ask kids why questions. They're accusatory. Why were you late? Why did you take that? Why did you get a B? You ask kids what questions. What drove you to make that decision? What do you think you would do next time? Ask kids what questions. You'll get more honest answers, not why questions. And stop worrying about who's the problem. Start worrying about what's the solution. Great quarterbacks are the solution because they erase and minimize problems that every team has. Injuries, bad coordinators, free agent losses, bad units. Baltimore and Cleveland both have a ton of injuries this year, but which one's really good? Baltimore, because they've got a better quarterback. And Kansas City and Washington both have sucky defenses. Who's better? Kansas City, because they got the better quarterback. And Seattle and the Texans have both whiffed on first-round picks in the last several years. One still makes the playoffs. Seattle, why? They've got the best quarterback. They have a solution. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay never has a good defense, but they get to the NFC Championship. Why? Because they have the solution. Everybody, the coach isn't the solution. Go look in New England. He's not the solution. Tom Brady staying in New England was the solution. Perhaps getting Justin Herbert last year in the draft for the Patriots, if they could have done that, would be the solution. So everybody in this league, everybody whiffs on draft picks. Everybody loses a free agent. Everybody has a weak unit. It's a salary cap league. Everybody's got major injuries, cluster injuries. Baltimore had a total meltdown in their backfield. They're still good because they have a solution. So that's what Deshaun Watson is. Not saying Tua's the problem, but he is not talented enough, like a Josh Allen, a Mahomes, a Justin Herbert, maybe a Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, maybe, to solve the issues that everybody incurs. And so you got so many people in Miami now, so many fanboys that want to be right instead of getting it right. I mean, the Vikings and the Seahawks last year both had terrible defenses and injuries. One of them was pretty good. Seattle won 12 games. Why? They've got the solution. They've got Russell Wilson. So I just think whenever anybody in any industry, in any situation, I'm not the problem. We're not the problem. You're not interested in solving anything. You just don't want to get blamed for it. That's all ego and vanity. Let's get to the solution. The solution is making a deal and getting better at the most important position. Deshaun Watson, maybe not my choice, but I would have drafted a quarterback last year, so I wouldn't be in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Greg Cosell, Hour 2, live in Los Angeles. It's The Herd.